and Jerubbabel and others, encouraging them to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, which that, remember that order to go back by the Gentile king was the dating point from which we count forward 69 times 7 weeks to the arrival of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, from Daniel chapter 9. So Haggai is God encouraging them to get busy and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And then, as we'll see, Zechariah and Malachi are the final two books chronologically as well, which occurred after the rebuilding of Jerusalem. But as God is encouraging them about the temple here in chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, He encourages them as well about the future temple, the temple that we will be able to see in the kingdom. So notice in verse 6, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." So the desire of all nations shall come. Let's pray. Our Lord, we are grateful for the privilege to assemble this evening and to continue walking through these amazing books. And we pray you teach us from Haggai tonight. And again, encourage our hearts, what we have in Christ, in our hope. And Lord, that the Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us through your word. We give you this service and pray you'll be glorified in it, in Christ's name. Amen. So God here putting forward some prophecies that go well beyond the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And the first one there in verse 6 is that he will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. So there, of course, God is telling us that at the return of Jesus Christ, there's going to be some major changes to the world. If you go to Matthew 24, verse 29, Jesus said the same thing. And as he explains here in Matthew 24, 29, these things take place after the tribulation. So notice Matthew 24 and verse 29. So Jesus makes it clear by saying here in verse 29, immediately after the tribulation. So we know the timing of this. He says, "Of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from the heaven, the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So, at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus returns, he will shake everything up, if you will. And as we know, he will even change the earth geographically, as we saw when we went through the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, chapter 60, and other chapters talk about the kingdom and how everything will change. So God not only says here in Haggai 2 that he'll shake the heavens and the earth, but he also says in verse 7 that he'll shake the nations. And we know that when Jesus returns, there's going to be a shakeup of that as well. There will be no more nations. There will be one. And that is Jesus' nation when he returns. So go to Daniel, back to the left a bit, verse 44, where Daniel prophesied of the same thing and the thing that the world has been striving for and that the devils wanted, which will never come to pass, will come to pass under Christ, which is one nation under God. That's the nation of Jesus Christ. Notice Daniel 2:44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." Remember, this was Nebuchadnezzar's image that he saw in the dream, and it laid out the the coming kingdoms of the earth. And the final kingdom, of course, is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which, as we read here, will remove all other kingdoms. There will be only one kingdom, and that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ, the one in which we get to rule and reign. Hallelujah. Another verse on this, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you would. And we're talking here about not only the shaking of the heavens and the earth, but he's also talking about the shaking of all the nations. Again, all of this happens at the end of the tribulation period, at the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, when he shakes everything up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let." That word "let" means to restrain, talking about the Holy Spirit, "until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." So those two verses actually reveal the entire 7 years in a nutshell. The Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way. He's the restrainer that's been holding everything back. When he leaves with the church, then the wicked one will have his 7 years of ruling, and then he will be consumed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So when all of this occurs, as we saw in Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, the desire of nations shall come. That, of course, is Jesus. Now, this is one of multitudes of prophecies. But the first one was in Genesis 49, so let's turn there. Many prophecies about Jesus coming to the earth and setting up his kingdom. Jesus Christ being the ruler of all. Jesus Christ, as we read here in this case, referred to as the desire of all nations. They don't know this is what they desire at this current situation. But they definitely during the tribulation, they'll know they want something other than the Antichrist. But notice Genesis 49:10. This is the final prophecies of Jacob as he was about to die, and he prophesied over each of his children. And here in verse 10, he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." Of course, Jesus Christ was a descendant of Judah. "Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." So Shiloh, another name for the Messiah. The Bible says, "Unto him," unto Shiloh, the Messiah, "shall the gathering of all people." So Jesus Christ will set up a single kingdom to which all people will follow. Revelation 1, another verse on this. If you turn there, verse 7. Revelation 1, 7. The Bible says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen." So this is not talking about the rapture. This is talking about when Jesus comes to the earth, every eye shall see him. Even the Jews will know who he is, and they'll realize that they're the ones that pierced him. And it says, "All the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." So he's going to shake it up. He's going to shake up the heavens and the earth. He's going to shake up all the nations. And the desire of all nations, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall come. And back in our passage, Haggai 2:7, look what it says, "And I will fill this house with glory." Now, I'm sure that the temple, if you go to Ezekiel 43, verse 4, I'm sure that the temple will be improved upon from what it is today. Did you get to see it, James, when you were there? Yeah, it'll be better than that. I'm sure God will make it amazing when he comes back to use it as the seat of all authority for the entire earth. And God is saying that, again, he will fill it with his glory just like he did in the days of Solomon. Remember, he prayed and they had music and God came down and filled the temple. People couldn't enter it because it was filled with the glory of the Lord. God says, "I'm going to do that again in the kingdom." And notice here in Ezekiel 43, verse 7, we read about this. 43 verse 4. And the glory of the Lord came into the house by the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall be the house of Israel, no more defile, neither they and their kings by their whoredoms, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. So did you notice who he's going to dwell in the midst of forever? Israel. Remember, this will be a Jewish kingdom. Jesus is a Jew. And then Zechariah 14, if you would. Zechariah 14, verse 16, where we read that prophecy of the return of Jesus Christ includes not only his kingdom, but the house of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, and Jerusalem being again filled with the glory of the Lord. Zechariah 14, look at verse 16. It says, And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So every single person on the entire earth during the kingdom will at least once a year travel to Jerusalem to personally worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you and I, we'll probably be able to travel wherever we want, as fast as we want, like Jesus did. But remember, there will be literally millions and millions of people on the earth that are measly humans that we're going to be ruling and reigning over. And all these people will come once a year and worship at the feet of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. So God here in Haggai 2, prophesying of the return of Jesus Christ, encouraging Israel, rebuild this temple. I know it isn't going to look like much now, but picture what it will be like when Jesus comes, when the King comes, when the desire of all nation comes. That notice verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. He's saying that there will come a time when this temple will be greater than Solomon's temple. Not now, not yet, but it will happen. And then he mentions in verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Isn't that quite a statement? Reminding us that the thing that man strives for here on earth, which is money, which is based on gold apparently, it all belongs to God. It's easy to forget that sometimes, isn't it? It's all His. I mean, He even says in Deuteronomy 8, it is the Lord to give it the power to get wealth. He's telling us He owns everything. In Psalm 50, every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He says He even owns all the cattle. He even owns the hills that the cattle graze on. He owns us. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns everything. Even if you go to 1 Chronicles 29, when David took an offering, remember, God wouldn't allow David to build the temple because David had been a man of war. But God did allow David to take up an offering for the building of the temple prior to dying so that Solomon could then build the temple. So God allowed David to collect up the money to do it. But then Solomon is the one that actually built it. But after the offering, notice 1 Chronicles 29. Yes, verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. So he's saying, Lord, you own everything. And when he had the privilege of taking up this offering. And there was another verse I wanted to share in this passage, and I lost it. When he was praying, He says, all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Oh, verse 14. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. You know, sometimes ushers pray this when they take up the offering, a privilege to give back to you part of what is yours. And that's what David is saying. Lord, it's all yours. We're just giving you back a little bit of what you've already given us. And God is saying, it's all mine. The silver's mine. The gold is mine. Remember, there was a lot of silver, a lot of gold in the original Solomon's temple. There's probably going to be more silver and more gold in the final temple that Jesus will rule and reign from, to remind us that silver and gold mean nothing to God. It's just a metal. And he's the one that created that metal. So this glory will fill the house again in the kingdom. And the latter house, as we saw in verse 9, will be greater than the former. And who will rule and reign there? Isaiah 9:7. Turn there if you would. None other than the Prince of Peace. Amen. The one that we sing about every Sunday. Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace. So not only the government, but the peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Look at chapter 11, verse 9 of Isaiah. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isn't that awesome? One more, Isaiah 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Remember, that word mountain often refers to a kingdom. And so in encouraging Israel to go back, which, remember, they obeyed. They did say, we will go back. It took them 4 years, and they rebuilt Jerusalem. They rebuilt the temple. God's saying, I know it doesn't look as good as Solomon's, but be patient. And when God says be patient, that means you really sometimes need to be patient. Because now it's been 2,600 years since he said be patient. And one day you will, if you trust the Lord, you will get to see this temple in all of its glory. It'll be redone better than Solomon's. It'll be filled with the glory of the Lord. When the desire of nations, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, comes, shakes up the nations, shakes up everything, and sets up his kingdom, and sits on the throne of David himself in none other than Jerusalem, in a temple that will have a greater glory and be filled with the glory of God, the temple at which you and I will worship the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on earth. When the desire of nations shall come. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you again for reminding us, our Lord, for